Oh, greetings, my friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, before the microphone again with the word of God in my hand and a love for sinners in my heart. Well, friends, here we are with another day of grace and still another opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, I believe that there are some of you listening in today and you never miss a broadcast. You listen in time after time, and yet you know down deep in your heart that you've never been saved and born again. Yes, the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you of your sin and your need for Jesus Christ many, many times, but you're still unsaved. Tell me, friend, what are you waiting on? Are you expecting a feeling to give you assurance of salvation? Or are you waiting for a vision or a dream? Or perhaps you're waiting for an earthquake like the jailer in Acts chapter 16. Well, friend, I don't know what's keeping you from Jesus Christ. But one of these days you're going to procrastinate once too often, and off you'll go, down to a Christless grave, and into hell with all of its terrible torment. You know, throughout the Word of God, we read that salvation is a present gift of God. It's not promised to you tomorrow, but today. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 we read, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And friend, I can't help but think of that scripture, Job 22 and verse 21. "Acquaint now thyself with God, and be at peace." And friends, remember this. There are thousands of souls in hell today who awoke this morning in perfect health. They too didn't expect to die today. They too thought that they had plenty of time. And yet in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, God says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." With this solemn thought in mind, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son. We thank thee, our God, for thine unspeakable gift. We thank thee, our God, for his condescending grace, for his perfect walk while here upon earth. But we thank thee most of all for Calvary. For it was there that they crucified him, the just one dying for we the unjust, so that he might bring us back to thee. Lord, we thank thee too for his resurrection from the dead, and the fact that he is now exalted at the right hand of the majesty on high. We also thank thee, our God, for his soon return. We thank thee that he that shall come, and will not tarry. Father, we ask thy blessing upon this day of grace. Bless thy word wherever Christ is being preached to the ends of the earth. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to the best beloved hymn of all time, "The Old Rugged Cross."
Till my soul be satisfied.
for one sure thank God today for the old rugged cross. Yes, there at Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ expressed His love towards a lost and dying race by shedding His own life's blood so that we who are deserving of nothing of God's mercy whatsoever might be brought back into a new and proper relationship with His Father God. Now then, those of you who care to follow me in the Scriptures I'll be using as my text for today, a verse of Scripture as we find it in John's Gospel, chapter 5. John, chapter 5, and verse 24. The Lord Jesus Christ is doing the speaking, and He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His word. Now here in the 24th verse of John chapter 5, we have a message from God that I believe borders on the extreme of gospel simplification. Friend, it makes God's way of salvation seem so simple that it's no wonder sinners stumble over it. But you know, that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ always spoke, simply. He was sent to seek and to save the illiterate as well as the educated. He Himself was not the product of some college or university or theological seminary, yet He was the carpenter's son who at the age of 12 was teaching the learned doctors in the temple. Yes, He spoke so simply because He wanted His message understood by even the youngest listener. And if you were to take a red letter edition of the Bible, which shows the words of Jesus Christ printed in red, I'm sure that the vast majority of His words were of one syllable. And so it is with me today, friends. I want to speak to you as simply as I know how, and what I say will be according to the Word of God. No, I'm not going to preach any other gospel than that which I find in the Bible, which I hold in my hand. And friend, I pray that God has prepared your heart as fertile soil in which the Holy Spirit of God can plant the good seed that shall spring forth in the blossom of salvation for your soul. Now friends, there are some very important facts which we must consider about this verse, not the least of which is the fact that it is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who is doing the speaking. And for that reason, if for no other, I would suggest that you pay close attention to what He has to say. Here He is in verse 24 of John chapter 5. And just prior to our text, He has healed an impotent man on the Sabbath day. Now when the religious Pharisees heard of Jesus Christ healing this man on the Sabbath day, they immediately sought to kill the Son of God. And it was then that Jesus Christ proclaimed His divine sonship with these wonderful words of life. "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now then, let's just analyze this verse very briefly. And just see how plain the Word of God can be when it comes to the presentation of the Gospel. At the very beginning, of course, Jesus Christ says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you." Then the next phrase consists of only five words, but they are very, very important. "He that heareth my word." Sinner friend, you're listening to the program today called The Voice of the Gospel, a program devoted entirely to preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I'm bringing before you the fact that unless you're sheltered beneath the blood of God's Son, then according to the Bible, not according to me, but according to the Word of God, you're still on the broad and crowded road that leads to hell and the lake of fire. And friend, the first prerequisite to leaving that broad road is to hearken to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "He that heareth my words, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Sinner friend, the salvation of your soul is dependent upon faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why God tells us in Romans 10 and 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now friends, before you, as an individual sinner in the sight of a holy God, can hear the Word of God, you must first of all have a mind that is void of all preconceived ideas regarding the salvation of the soul. In other words, clear your mind of all your own ideas and listen simply to what God has to say. After all, it isn't what you and I say that counts, my friend. It's the Word of God that shall judge us in eternity. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, the Lord Jesus Christ himself verifies this fact with these words. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Yes, friend, the word of God is so clear, and yet so few of us take the time to read what God has to say. And I believe that the reason for this condition existing is the fact that man has exalted himself to such a height that his own image stands between himself and God. And furthermore, this is particularly true when it comes to the matter of salvation. Man declares that there is no such a thing as sin and death. Yet God and very nature itself tells us that the wages of sin is death. Man says that we are all essentially good. Yet God says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Man says that some people are better than others. Yet God declares that there is no difference because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man says that good works, religious, and rituals will take him into God's heaven. Yet God declares you're always an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Man says that God would never cast a sinner into hell, but God declares bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire. Man says that God will give man a second chance to repent after death, but God declares he that being often reproved hard in his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Did you hear that, sinner friend? God says that there's absolutely no remedy for the Christ rejecter who dies in that spiritual condition. You who've been told that you'll have a second chance after death, tell me, friend, where did such a devilish doctrine come from? There's one thing sure, it didn't come from the Bible. Friend, the Word of God is so clear in this matter. It tells us that when an individual dies, their soul goes to either one of two places, either heaven or hell. There's no middle ground or resting place. There's no such a place as purgatory either. No, my friend, it's either the glories of heaven with Jesus Christ, or else it's the torments of hell with his eternal punishment. And friend, that means separation from a loving God forever. Now, sinner friend, that's how the situation stands. You're either following the words of man and the ways of mankind, or else you're heeding the words of Jesus Christ. Now, are you going to trust the reasoning of man for your salvation? Are you going to listen to the infallible and faithful words of God's Son? In John 6 and verse 63, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." And then in the next verse, Jesus says, "But there are some of you that believe not." Yes, friends, and today, I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to some of you who believe not. Some of you listening in today have never opened your ears to hear what Jesus Christ has to say. Your life is too filled with the things of time and sense, the things that shall soon pass away, and the things which are keeping you from hearing the word of truth. And over in John chapter 8 and beginning at verse 43, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Then in verse 47 he says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Listen, friend. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ in John 3 and verse 3. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now here the Lord Jesus Christ tells you quite emphatically that unless you are born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now then, friend, in view of these words by the Son of God, let me ask you, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved through faith in the blood of Christ? Well, friend, if not, then you're still on the broad road that leads to the place of eternal woe. Yes, you're hastening on down the road to the place that Jesus Christ called hell. And if you were to die in your present spiritual condition, you would weep, you would wail, and you would gnash your teeth throughout the countless ages of all eternity. Now the next phrase of John chapter 5 and verse 24 is likewise very important. Jesus Christ says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Now here's where a lot of people are misled. They believe that this phrase means simply to believe that God exists. Listen, my friend, I read in James chapter 2 and verse 19 that the demons believe in God. Yes, they believe that he exists, and what more, they tremble, but they'll never be in God's heaven. Friends, that's not the meaning of this verse at all. Jesus Christ is telling us that we must believe that God not only sent His Son, and that God does exist, but we must believe what God has to say concerning His Son. In John chapter 7 and verse 16, Jesus Christ says to those who marvel at His teaching in the synagogue, "My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me." And if we were to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18, we would read these words by God. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Again in John 6 and verse 29, Jesus told the multitude which he had fed with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Listen, my friend. Every word spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ came directly from the heart of God. And every act he ever committed was in complete harmony with the mind and will of his Father. In John 6, verses 38 and 40, Jesus Christ said, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, as far as the reason for God sending his Son into the world is concerned, we have it clearly expressed in John chapter 3, verses 17 and verse 18. Here's what Jesus Christ himself declares. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Again in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus Christ declares that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, I thank God today that Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven and died on Calvary's cross so that lost and hell-deserving sinners just like the speaker could be reached and saved. Now, friends, God wants every one of his creatures to listen to his Son. He has given his Son a message and work of deliverance from sin and wrath. And if we ever expect to be in heaven, it's because we've listened to and heeded the Word of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 17, we see that scene on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we hear God's voice piercing the overshadowing clouds in verse 5. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." I wonder if there's someone within the sound of my voice today who is willing to hear God's well-beloved Son. Friend, are you willing to stand still long enough to hear the words of life? If so, listen to what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11 and verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, aren't those wonderful words? Yes, indeed. But, sinner friend, God also wants you to believe what he has to say concerning his Son. And what does God have to say concerning Jesus Christ? Well, over in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22, God says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, God declares that he hath made Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for you and I, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Ephesians 2 and 13, God says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." In 1 Peter 2 and 24, we read concerning God's Son, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. And in chapter 3 of that same epistle, we read these words in verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." And finally, in 1 John 1 and 7, we hear God say that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, friends, that's the Word of God which you can read for yourself in your own Bible. The trouble with people today is that they won't take time to read the Bible. They would rather read the newspapers and magazines, which are filled from cover to cover with the evidences of man's total spiritual degeneration and degradation. Now then, let's look at the next phrase of John chapter 5 and verse 24, where Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And friends, I want you to notice that word hath, H-A-T-H. It means present tense and immediate possession. Many people today believe that we can't be sure of heaven and eternal life until we die. Well, needless to say, that doctrine is not substantiated by Scripture. Jesus Christ says, hath everlasting life. Listen, sinner friend, once you acknowledge that you're a sinner, and acknowledge you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and then by faith accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will immediately become the recipient of eternal life. And what's more, once saved, if saved, always saved. Jesus Christ says in John 10, beginning at verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Yes, thank God, once a sinner is saved, he is as sure of life everlasting as though he were already walking the street of gold. And friends, that's why Jesus Christ gives the promise that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life. Over in John chapter 8 and verse 51 he declares, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And over in John 11 and 26, Jesus says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he reiterates this promise in John 6 and 47 with these words, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now let's take a brief look at the next phrase in our text for today. Jesus Christ says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Sinner friend, those five words are very important. Shall not come into condemnation. God has declared in Romans 6 and 23 that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, if you accept Christ as your Savior today, you will never, no, never, come under the wrath of Almighty God. No, if you'll just take God at His word today and believe that His Son bore your judgment at Calvary's cross, then according to God who cannot lie, you will never know the torments of the lake of fire. You know, Jesus Christ tells us in the best known verse in the Bible, John 3 and verse 16, how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Did you hear that? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, he assures us in John 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but, and listen to this, sinner friend, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, friend, I plead with you today to escape the wrath of God. In Hebrews 10 and 31, we read that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if you were to die in your sin today, without Christ as your Savior, you would know then what the condemnational wrath of a holy God was all about. In Job 36 and verse 18, God says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Now then, let's take a quick look at the last phrase of our text for today. Jesus Christ said in John 5 and verse 24, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Yes, thank God for his unspeakable gift. Here we are, sinners by birth, sinners by nature, sinners by practice and choice. We're dead in trespasses and in sin, yet through faith in Jesus Christ, we're brought from spiritual death unto spiritual life. It was Jesus Christ who said in John 11 and verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Again, he could say in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, friends, I've been bringing before you today a number of facts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his utterance in John 5 and verse 24. But you know, he tells us in John 6 and verse 44 that no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And friend, I trust that even now, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your soul. If he is my friend, Why not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Because if you do, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friends, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we come into thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son, and ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth, save souls to his honor and glory alone. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And as I've said many times in the past, if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some basic and fundamental gospel literature sent to you absolutely free and postpaid, I'll be only too happy to send it to you. You just send me your name and address. That's the Voice of the Gospel. Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. My address again, Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.